You're not cut out for project management? Let me guess. They said you couldn't handle the pressure, the responsibility, and of course, the constant change. But what if I told you that your unique strengths are exactly what make you perfect for this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management? Have you ever wondered why some project managers continue to push through all odds while others burn out? What if the key to becoming an exceptional project manager isn't what you think? In today's episode, I'm breaking down the hidden motivations that drive the world's exceptional project manager. I will also share a story that I've never shared publicly, but this time it's come for me to deliver that story to you. I know I shared a story of how I shadowed someone in project management and what got my career as far as ignited the hunger for project management. I know I've also shared a story where I took this almost like a personality test and would show me some of the areas that I would enjoy doing as for a career. But I really never shared the real motivation. And when I say the real motivation, the motivation that connected the dots of all of those stories, this is one of many. And I hope I can be more vulnerable with you guys as time goes on. But today, this is one of those that I'm going to have to talk slow with, because if I don't, it may trigger something where I think about the challenges and struggles that it took for me to get here. And I share this with you guys because there are project managers or people that want to get into project management or already in project management, and they always get the destination. They never get the journey. What do you mean by that, ED? What I mean by that is that a lot of times that people get the end goal or the destination of actually becoming that project manager or wanting to be that senior project manager or program manager, et cetera, but they don't understand the journey of how to get there. So this is how it happened for me, full transparency. See, I had a very toxic manager that I shared with, I wanted to get into project management during our normal weekly one-on-ones. I even said that I talked to a hiring manager and they told me they would bring me into the department, but it would not be as a project manager. However, I would have a chance to have more access to project managers and really basically work beside them day by day to really get a feel of the position, to really truly understand the position in its entirety. The manager did set the expectation. Well, let me stop there real quick, family. See, a lot of times people will make bold promises or make promises, but they don't set the expectation. And then all of a sudden you become frustrated from the expectations. But anyway, back to the story. So I still needed to pass the interviews. And if the team wanted to bring me on board, then she made a commitment that she fulfilled her promise of providing me closer access to the project managers to better understand the day-to-day. So when I met with my manager the following week, I told my current manager, hey, I have some amazing news. I just never thought this day could get any better, because as I told my manager that, I got an email as I was sitting there because I had my laptop in front of me that the hiring manager said, hey, you made it past the actual first round of interviews, and the second interviews will be scheduled for later that week. So I being so excited, not even thinking about it and not thinking anything was wrong, I'm sharing that information with my current manager. Probably a day or two went by, and then in the middle of the day, I get a call from the hiring manager. She said, Ed, I have some unfortunate news to share with you. Are you able to get to a private area to talk? I said, yeah, of course. I said, just give me about 2 minutes. So I got up out my seat and went around the corner to the conference room. As I'm walking towards the conference room in a speed type walk, you could imagine, I don't want people to know what's going on. So I'm walking really fast, like I have to go to the bathroom or something. And my heart is just beating. It's just racing so fast because I'm like, what could have went wrong? She said I did. I moved on to the second round. I'm thinking, what happened? And I told her, hey, I'm in a private location. And I said, we can converse now. She said, unfortunately, you've just been put on a performance improvement plan. I said, what? I said, but wait, did I hear you correctly? You just said I got put on a performance improvement plan. I said, when did this happen? And she said, wait, Ed, just calm down. Let me explain. She said, because you've been put on the performance improvement plan, I will have to pull your name out of the candidacies for the role. You talking about being mad, family? Mad was not even a word to describe how I was feeling at that moment, because I knew this was my way in, because now I will have really true close access to project managers. I would get a real true sense if this was something I really wanted to go into, or did it just sound good on paper? She said, and also she said, I hate to stack on more than that. She said, but you were one of the top two candidates out of the three people we had left. Now, family, I haven't even received the performance improvement plan yet from my hiring manager. So I knew nothing. I thought this lady was making this up just so she didn't have to bring me on board. But what I failed to realize is that where the organization at the time where I had worked at, when a performance and improvement plan is documented, is put into the system. And so because it's put in the system, and when she went to go send me to the next stage of the interviewing process, that popped up for her and wouldn't allow her to move me forward because this is a company policy. And after I got over the frustration, the emotion, the disappointment, the why me, the victimhood, I got so motivated that I promised myself that I will never get, that I promised myself that I will get into this profession called project management by any means necessary. I wasn't going to let anyone stop me. I wasn't going to say what the qualifications I needed to have. I wasn't going to allow what they say about me to get in the way. And I share that story with you, family, and I hope it resonates with someone out there that is going through something of trying to make a career change. I hope this story resonates with someone that maybe is a junior or a project coordinator, and they're like, I can't get up to the next step. Yes, you can. I hope this story that I was very transparent on really helps somebody get out their own way. With no further ado, let's get into these 8 points. Point number one, desire to prove doubters wrong. Again, desire to prove doubters wrong. The determination that I had was that I was going to get in this thing called project management. This was the profession for me, because all of the resistance was happening. All of the obstacles was happening that I was like, why is this happening? So I'm going to tell you the action, the thing that I did. I went and looked for a program online. If the programs were like how they are now, I may not have went this route, but this was what I found and this is what I went with. So I found a university that they offered a bachelor's and a master's program in field of project management. And amazing thing about it was all online, like I said. So I already had a bachelor's, so I went after a master's program. Let me give you some insight. Nowadays, you wouldn't have to do that if you don't want to. If you don't have a bachelor's, or let's say you have a bachelor's, you're like, I don't want to do any more education. Family, it's not about what you want to do. It's about what you have to do. But now there's so many programs out there. There's so many trainings out there that really provide real life project management that will allow you to take that knowledge and go and work in this thing called project management. You may have to start at a position that may not have the title. Like I was saying, I was going into a position that didn't have the title project management, but the exposure that I was getting, the opportunity that I was getting, I was surrounded by project managers because we had to connect. So again, don't allow excuses. Don't allow whatever ism is out there, ages or racism. I don't care what the ism is. If you really want to go after this thing, you're going to have to find an alternative route, because a lot of times in life, there's never, for people like us, family, is not a straight route. When I say people like us, people that in life, we thought, oh, if I go and do this thing, meaning I go get a degree, the doors are going to be open for me. And then you find out when you're sitting in that interview, they're like, you don't have enough experience. And you're like, wait a minute, I was in school. So now you have to find an alternative path. Or sometimes you're in a job, you've been working this job for 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, or whatever it is, and you want to make a career shift. And then they're like, we see that you've been over in this career for a while, so why do you want to come over here? You have to find a way around it. I always say to you, family, is that you have to find a way to navigate. And this brings me into point number two, personal growth mindset. I knew my path to becoming a project manager was not going to be like most project managers. And when I knew that, I had to finally accept that. That doesn't mean it was right, but I had to accept it. And what I cared about anyway was enjoying the journey about this thing called project management. What I cared about the most was who I was going to become in this journey. Look, I'm making episodes about the thing that I love. I would have never thought I would be doing this. And then on top of that, getting to the destination. See, sometimes we get caught up so much in the destination of getting the certification or getting the role that we forgot the experiences. We forgot, as Jay-Z said, we forgot what we came for. So I'm saying to you, family, that here's an actionable tip. I took the opportunity and made the commitment. That's the first step. I made the commitment to myself that if they're not going to let me walk in the front door, if they're not going to let me walk in the back door, I'm coming through the windows. I'm coming through the chimney. I am coming into this thing called project management. And my insight to that, family, is in making that commitment, I said, there's no excuses. I don't care if they say no. When they start saying no, I'm just going to clap yes and get excited. What do you mean, ED? Because I know they just made a mistake. They made a mistake in not accepting me because I'm hungry. And that's how you have to get, family. You have to get so hungry for this thing called project management if this is the career that you want to get into. Because if you don't, any little thing will allow you to sit down and have a pity party. Any little obstacle that get in your way, any no or them saying you're not deserving of this because you don't have the experience. So I say to you, family, do not give up. Have a personal growth mindset. Let's move on to point number three. Another one of my passions was problem solving. I love the ability to look at problems and figure out, like, where most people would give up on a problem. Okay, let me see if I could do this. I was willing to test and try different things. And so an actionable tip is, if you're in this particular space, start working on preparing a detailed report and presented it to the board or along with potential mitigation strategy. I don't care if you don't have anyone to present to. Start getting those reps in. Start getting that type of practice in, because this is going to allow you to excel when it is time, as they say, when the lights are on. Don't wait until the opportunity shows up and then you haven't done the prep work. I'm telling you, do the prep work. So just in case if a project manager decides to go to another organization, you may have an opportunity to get in there. If you're making the career switch to get in this thing called project management and they're starting you off at a coordinator, then you can articulate, hey, I've been here for a while. I've been watching. Could I have an opportunity to actually do this thing called project management? Point number four, a life learner. This drive for project management, you have to always be continuously looking to improve, staying ahead of industry trends. It's about finding the excitement of new knowledge. That just excites me. Here's an actionable step. Create a personal learning roadmap. What does that look like? That means including formal training, self-study, and my favorite, experimental learning. What is experimental learning? Let's park here parenthetically. Experimental learning means that you are testing out what you're actually formally training and what you may experience on the job and finding a way to mix these two together. Because listen, the PMBOK guide is a standard guide. Not everything in that guide you're going to leverage, or the agile practice guide. You're not going to use everything in there. So why not start testing things out? Run a project of your life and test out, like, hey, what if I put together a schedule and then I realize, okay, we need to push this up in the schedule. You can do that in your personal life, and you can leverage that in the interview if you're going on board with a new organization and you don't have the experience. Again, we have to think outside the box. Insight. The most valuable learning often happens outside of your comfort zone. Just don't focus on areas you're already strong in. Deliberately seek out knowledge in your weak spots or emerging fields. One of the things that I did that I'm always recommending to people that are thinking about getting in project management, I think I hit on it a little bit and shared it in one of these later episodes, where I talked about, if I was starting all over again, one of the first things that I would do was either create a podcast or a YouTube channel. those would be the first two. I would either one of those two. The reason why is what this can do for you is as you're studying the information, you can start presenting it. Even if you don't want to be on camera, fine. Just have slides in place, and because you're going to be in meetings where you're going to have to present slides anyway. So have that ability to, you can build up that confidence. This is a secret weapon. I'm telling you, if you take this chance, just do 100 videos and see what happens. Do 100 episodes and see what happens. See how far your knowledge grows by doing that. Let's move on to point number five, a variety seeker. A variety seeker is somebody like myself, and it's probably a lot of you guys out there that are guilty of that. We sometimes refer to that as the shiny object syndrome. Like we see something like, oh, that's cool, and we'll jump to it. But I also found out that this drive also comes from where each project presents new challenges to stakeholders and the environment is always constantly changing. You get excited because you're like, no project is the same. You could be running the same project year after year, and it's going to present different problems, different areas of opportunity, different learning opportunities. I'm going to give you an example. You could be leading a project, and all of a sudden, some of your best people decide to leave the organization. And now you're stuck picking up the pieces, because when new people come onto the project, first of all, you got to get them acclimated to the team, because the team already has a bond. And they're like, this is an outsider. We don't know this person. And so they're not more transparent and forthcoming as they normally would. So you have to be able to bring them into the fold and make them feel comfortable along with the team. Here's an actionable tip. Create a project diversity checklist for your career. Include different industries, project sizes, methodologies, frameworks, and team structures. Check this, family. Aim to check off one new item each year to ensure continuous growth. You heard me say year, not weeks, not month, because you want to be able to master each one of these items. And when I say master, I don't mean like you're never going to stop working on the thing. I'm saying get to a point where you're comfortable having a conversation with another project manager, where you're comfortable having a conversation with a hiring manager. Here's some insight. While the variety is stimulating, be cautious of becoming what they call a jack of all trades and a master of none. So strive for balance between diverse experiences while you're developing a deep expertise in a specific area. For me, family, one of my deep expertise, I actually have two, but now I'm really going deep into this other area because I've been in it almost 4 years coming up. And it's cybersecurity. I've developed a deep passion for cybersecurity, but specialized in PCI DSS, which is part of a GRC, which is Global Risk and Compliance. So the compliance piece, I really am in love with this compliance aspect of things. And I'm doing a real deep dive on that, kind of reading on that on a regular basis. Let's move on to point number six, strategic vision. This motivation arises from the ability to see the bigger picture and connect project outcomes to broader organizational goals. It's also about understanding how individual projects fit into a larger strategic landscape. Here's an actionable tip. Schedule regular meetings with senior management, or if you feel comfortable enough, which you never will, so you might as well do it anyway, with executives to discuss organizational strategy. Now, one of the things I want to make sure you do before you go into that meeting, before you think I'm just going to go in there and they're just going to give me their time. Be prepared. Have questions already in place. I would even recommend sending those questions to the senior management or executive to let them know. This is going to let them know how serious you are and what you want to talk about, because what you want to make sure is the projects that you're leading are aligned with those objectives. Here's some insight. PMs who can articulate the strategic value of their projects are more likely to secure roles and support from upper management. Developing these skills translates into project details into a strategic language. Let's move on to point number seven. One of the reasons why that motivated me to get in this thing called project management is leadership calling. One of the things is the desire for me was to guide to, as John Maxwell talks about, to influence and impact, as well as inspire teams towards achieving a project goal. It's about finding fulfillment and bringing out the best in others and aligning diverse talents towards a common objective. I get super excited about that because when you first start on a project, the team is just, it's interesting. you start having many fights and people want to show you how smart they are. And once you get past all of that and you're able to develop that transparency, to develop that trust, now you have the team working together as one. And it's not about you need to do this. It's, hey, I want to recommend something. Yeah, and this brings people closer because now it's not about them trying to show how smart or intelligent they are. It's really about if I can help you have success, in turn, that's going to end up helping me have success. Here's an actionable tip. Develop a personal leadership development plan, including goals for enhancing your communication skills, your EI, which is emotional intelligence, and most of all, your decision, not your choice making, but your decision making abilities, and set measurable targets and review your progress quarterly. I want to give you a quick insight. Effective project leadership is less about control. Let me slow that down again, because see, a lot of people get in this thing called project management and think, oh, I'm going to have control and I'm just going to be so controlled. I'm going to micromanage and do it. No. Effective project leadership is less about control. It's really, truly more about influence and impact. And the most successful, or I should say exceptional PMs create an environment where team members feel truly empowered to contribute their best work. Point number 8, outcome-driven achiever. If you're an achiever, if you're somebody like to go after things, this motivation arises from the satisfaction of seeing tangible outcomes and measurable impact. It's about the pride in delivering a project or projects that create real value for the organization or your clients. Actionable tip here for you, family. Develop a comprehensive project impact scorecard that goes beyond the traditional metrics like time and budget, maybe even scope and quality, and include measures of business value, user satisfaction, and long-term benefits. Here's the insight. While achieving these results is important, how you achieve them matters just as much more. That's why I said, enjoy the journey. I know you want to get to that prestigious role that you've been working towards getting, or you've watched some of these episodes, or you listened to some of these episodes, and you was like, oh, that's what I want to do. But enjoy the journey, family. I can't say it over and over again. And I know what you think of. You're already there, so you can say, no, seriously. If I wouldn't have enjoyed the journey, I would have been so frustrated about how long it took to get here because I didn't know which direction to go at first. And that was why it was important to have that mentor there to shape and mold me and push me into my own career. All right, here's a bonus, family. Tech enthusiasts. So this drive comes from the interest in leveraging technology. I love technology. And to enhance project management practices. It's also about seeing really the potential in new tools when you're solving problems and most of all, improving efficiency. Here's an actionable tip. Create a technology sandbox for your team and allocate time and resources to test new PM tools out and technologies in a very low risk environment before full implementation. I do want to give you some insight in here. Technology shouldn't enable, better yet, it shouldn't even drive your project management approach. Always start with the problem you're trying to solve, then find the right technology solution, not vice versa. Here's my last and final bonus, family, and then I'll go into my three closing remarks, and then I'll let you be on your way. And I do truly appreciate if you stayed this long for listening to today's episode. It really means a lot to me because I know you could have been doing anything else. So it's a true pleasure that you guys stay. Marketing and sales. So as a project manager, you have to understand that this is something that is not talked about a lot. I said I'm going to write on this because of the fact that sales is you have people that do not report to you a lot of times if you're a project manager. So how can you persuade them to do things that they really don't want to do? How can you persuade them in a way that they will make the commitment and not be interested because they got other projects? And on top of that, they have their day-to-day. When you're writing your emails, a lot of times people are not going to read your emails. So I use marketing techniques in my subject line. I do weird things to capture someone's attention. Like I try to find the most powerful headline that I could think of. And I take time. Like most people, just a project manager send out the meeting recap or send out if they need to get someone's attention, just whatever. But for me, before I even compose an email, the first thing I really focus on a lot is my subject and the subject. And I make sure it's something that's captivating, that is in bold letters. So when you're reading, when you're getting all these emails as an executive or a manager or whatever, you're going to want to stop and find out, well, what does he mean alert? What does he mean stop and read this now? Yes, I do that, family, because you need people to read your email so they can come prepared for the meeting. So I would recommend, family, as an actionable tip, start reading, listening, and researching marketing and sales and persuasion techniques. This is going to really help you in your career of becoming a project manager if you're not already one. Here's my three closing remarks. Desire to prove doubters wrong. Like I said before, I had a desire to prove my doubters wrong. I wanted to show, when I shared with you that story at the beginning, that they made a mistake, and I'm going to show them that they made a mistake. There's a book out there, Be So Good, and I forgot the rest, but basically the premise of the book was be so good that you do get noticed, and that's what is happening. I'm still working on being so good that you have no choice, no option. You only have a decision to pay attention to what I'm about to do and shake this thing up called project management. Point number two, leadership calling. Like I stated before, it's not about control. It's really inspiring, influencing, motivating your project team and stakeholders about achieving project goals. And the last and final thing, just really truly problem solving as a passion, just being passionate about problem solving, taking on problems and saying, hey, I'd like to volunteer to help solve this problem. Even if you're not technical, even though you don't even know what's going on, but that exposure is going to help you put a framework together how to solve problems. Family, again, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means it. Today was one of those episodes for me that I stepped out of my comfort zone, because to share that story was very uncomfortable for me, but I talk about it a lot here, and I don't want to tell you something and I'm not living it. So today, in many episodes, I've lived what I've talked about, and I hope that I've inspired or influenced somebody that is on the fence of, oh, I don't have this degree or this certification, but I really want to get into project management, that I've eliminated those excuses, because it's not a straight path. It's not always a straight path into project management. But if you're willing to trust the journey, if you're willing to make the commitment and the necessary sacrifices, and I'll leave you with this question, what are you willing to sacrifice to become what you said you want to become? Until next time, I'm out.